my redeemer, my delight.
Holy, this is the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Hi there, this is John Nelson with FamiliesRecover.org. We offer hope and support for families being torn apart by addiction, enabling healthy decision-making that leads to a productive and meaningful lives. You can reach us at 772-285-5828.
Welcome to Kingdom Recovery. This is a live, spirit-filled program where no matter what chains a person to a prison of hopelessness, such as alcohol, drugs, sex, or even feelings, God can and will break those chains. Kingdom Recovery is a cutting-edge program where we discuss God's Word through focused teachings, open discussion, and life-changing testimonies.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Kingdom Recovery. Hope everyone had a wonderful Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. This is Luann Linnegan, and I'm with
James Rich.
And we are here to discuss some topics, biblical topics, as they relate to 12-step programs, and that's what Kingdom Recovery is all about. So we've been on step one, which is very appropriate for being in January. But before we start wrap up step one, I want to talk about 2026 a little bit, just a little bit, because, you know, there was some things that I, on Monday, God gave me, I woke up and I felt, get off the road of destruction. I was doing a study for our group on Monday, and he kept saying this, get off the road of destruction, get on the road of construction, right? So I started to look up words, and then it grew into 2026, because 2026, the concordance and all the stuff that I was looking on kind of wrapped up what he was saying. You know, it's about fresh starts, new beginnings, and growing, and where we've been to where we're going with God. And he's doing such great things. I mean, even in the jail with the women, everywhere I go, it's like he's so in the midst, you know. Even in lessons, even with you and I, James, me having to yield and just stand on something that's uncomfortable for me, you know, as you're going through something and just stand and, you know, stand on sometimes the faith that you have, other people, you know, just to be so that we are in agreement, even when sometimes the other person's feeling like really uncomfortable being in agreement with something. But honoring God is the most important thing. And, you know. And I can't wait to see the glory, you know. So, and that's what keeps me standing, you know. And it, even with the armor of God, you know, the big thing is to keep standing, no matter what's going on, no matter how many times, you know, the helmet might tilt or the sword might feel like it's going to fall out of the hand. You still got to stand there, you know. And I feel like that right now, just to share that with you. But some of the things that was put downloaded into me is linking, of course, you know, Vav and hook and end is linking as it is in heaven here on earth. I believe that more people are really becoming aware of the kingdom of God is at hand in them. You know, it's like that message is really being spread in a lot of places. I mean, don't get me wrong, there's a lot of people that don't know about it, but that's what we're supposed to be doing, you know, sharing the gospel, the good news that the kingdom of God is already here inside of us, and we have a piece of land in the kingdom, and it's our heart, and renewing our heart transforms us. That's the mind of the heart, right? And that's what we've been talking about with the 12 steps and how it relates to God's word. And when we apply those skills, those tools in our life, you know, even yielding is a tool. It's a skill that we have to practice. Forgiveness, all these things that we, you know, learn as we go along. How do we apply them? And that's what Kingdom Recovery is about. And to just connect it, the connections, the act of connecting ourselves building. You see, God already killed, destroyed all the bad things. We have to stand in the construction of what he already done. So my bridge has to stay down. I can't be blowing up bridges anymore, you know, and that's the bridge of peace and love and hope and forgiveness, so that when the other person is looking for a way out, they see God's way out through love, through peace, through joy, through forgiveness. And yeah, maybe I'm on the other side and they really don't want to go over because they see the person that they don't like on the other side, but I might be the only person, you know, that's left. Because I know I burned a lot of bridges in my life, you know, and it wasn't until the one bridge. And it was really, to be honest with you, for me, because I was feeling depression, I'm going to say, I think it was moving to a new location and getting back into fellowship in the program brought me back to what God wanted for me, because I really didn't know what else to do. I was in a foreign place. I was a foreigner. Like, forget about being born again and feeling like a foreigner. I literally sold everything in New York and moved here and was a foreigner, you know? So I had to do the things that can connect me. And once you do things that line up with God, he blesses you, because it says in his word that he reigns on all things, right?
Yeah, the just and the unjust.
Amen. So it's about expansion and fruitfulness, a time of growth, for growth and building new relationships, new communities. And when I say new relationships, meaning the new man identity has new relationships with, you could be with people that you've had your whole life, but it becomes a new relationship because you have new eyes, new heart, a new way of thinking in that relationship. I can't wait for other people to change, for other people to start acting the way I want. Right? You like that?
That's the way everybody, I go through that all the time.
Right? Yeah. If they could only.
You know, Christians do that with unsaved people.
Yeah. Or even pray for those things.
Well, they just need to, you know.
Yeah.
And they'll try to talk to them about stuff. I'm like, they need to be saved. That's not going to, they're just going to make you happy.
Right.
It's not going to help them.
Right. So of course I'm looking in the concordance and all these things, and in Hebrew 20:26 is harag, which is to kill and slay, destroy, put to death. We have to put to death all those things that God already did for us. We have to know that they no longer need to, we don't need to resurrect those things, those old things that were harming us, killing us, destroying our lives, keeping us unmanageable, because that's what we're going to be talking about today. We're going to review step one, which is confession, powerlessness, which leads us to power when we confess our powerlessness, and then unmanageability, which is once we start accumulating the information, the knowledge to build our faith up, right? We start to become manageable in our thinking. In our life, and we can actually infiltrate that manageability, that our faith in Christ, in all our affairs, every relationship, and we are in a relationship with everything in our life, whether it's finances, whether it's other people, whether it's our home. It's a relationship that we're having, and God wants to be in the midst of those relationships. So in the Greek, it's, I can't say the word, but epikodemis. Apocotomous, and it's to build up, to build upon, and that's spiritual construction, right, and edification, and we need to be doing that. So we want to move from the past cycle to what's coming, you know, in holiness, you know, sanctified, set apart, so that we can be used for his holiness in all our affairs, in everything, because everything that God has given us, blessed us with, even when we don't think it is from everything is, right, is part of a ministry that he has for us. Every person in our life, every location we go into, it's all our finances, it's all for one purpose. It's to expand the kingdom of God here on earth, however we can. That's what the supply is for. That's what the people assigned to us are for, so that whether we are doing it for them or they're helping, encouraging us to, you know, stand. Hallelujah, right? So, and the bottom line is we want to be fishers of men. So the Hebrew word is God's name. It's Yahweh. That's 26, the number 26 in Hebrew. And well, first, let me just say Greek 20 is gladness,
Yahweh,
joy.
I got to ask you. Yeah. Yahweh is number 26.
Number 26 in Hebrew, yes.
Wow.
I know God's name. Hallelujah. And it said Yahweh. YHWH, which is amazing, right? It's God's expansion of his kingdom on earth. That's what 26 means. It's amazing.
Yeah, and if you're listening, you don't know, they added the vowels, but they weren't in the Hebrew.
Yeah. And then 20, let me just go back from the number 20, is gladness in Greek. And in Hebrew, it's melon, like watermelon, or earthly comforts, because in scripture, they talk about the desire for earthly things, you know, the earthly comforts. So, and then 26 in Greek is agape, love. So, isn't that amazing? So you got 20, 26, you got the joy of the Lord, or you have a choice. Either you leave your 20 behind with wanting the worldly things, right? The sweetness of the world, or you can and move into your 26. Hallelujah. So, and that's God. So, and his love. So it's Yahweh and his love. Hallelujah. So, and 26, Yahweh is the oneness, the unity with God. So just a little bit of what God does when he downloads something in my heart and then I start seeking. And it's for everybody. We all have the ability to do this. You know, look up the numbers, look up a word, and then he reveals himself in it, you know? And that's how you get more intimate with him, too. And that's what we're trying to encourage people to do, even as we teach the program, we teach these subjects or, you know, steps and how they relate to God's word. It's really important that we keep him in the midst, in the center of it all. So I just want to review a little bit of what step one is in 12-step programs. It's we admitted, we confess, we were powerless over our problems, whatever it was, sinful nature, whether it was alcohol or anger, bitterness, resentment, fear, worry, right? And our lives had become unmanageable because of it, because we're all, the one thing is when Adam fell, the Holy Spirit left. And that's the God hole that we have in our heart that we're trying to fill with all these worldly things, right?
And that's why the Bible says the Lord said, on the day you eat of the tree, you shall surely die. But he didn't die for hundreds of years.
Right.
But he died spiritually on
that's
the day
right.
he ate.
Yep. Amen.
The Holy Spirit was
Amen.
Pulled back.
So I want to say that step one is an acknowledgement of our condition. You know, when I look at myself and I say, it's like a personal inventory. Where am I at with this? You know, am I, who am I lying to? Who am I hiding from behind the bush? Because God saw Adam. Adam, it's like a little kid, you know, when they cover their eyes, they really believe you can't see them. Mm-hmm. But they're right there, you know, but think about it, as a kid, I believe that. I thought like if I hide behind something because I couldn't see you. You couldn't see me. And that's the kind of mentality that denial is, or, you know, hiding behind lies, you know, and we want to come out of that place. So I have to look at, you know, what my problem is. Why is my life unmanageable? And, you know, and even if I think it's in my finances or in a relationship, I have to look at myself. It's easy to blame people, places, and things, but the powerlessness is that I have no control over the people, places, and things. And until I, you know, take ownership, accountability for my part, I'm going to remain powerless and unmanageable in the way I'm handling it. And it trickles. You know, I was watching something today about a lime, a rotten lime, and then they put two other limes, fresh limes next to it, and how the rottenness of the one lime starts to migrate on the other two. You know, and that's what happens when we have unforgiveness. It starts to really expand. It's like the weeds that God talks about that chokes out the good stuff. We don't want that to happen. So we need to turn the mirror, you know. The first step is about getting out of the pit, you know, and we want to get out of that place, that dark place. So it's turning the mirror around and looking at ourselves. We want to put a mirror in front of other people and make them look at themselves. But really what we need to do is turn it on us, because the only power we have is the power to change the way we're thinking about a situation. And the only way that can happen is through the word of God. If I use worldly views, I'm going to have distortion, because everything on this earth is mimicking in a distorted way, right? Because it's a fallen world. The things of heaven. That's why we can be easily fooled. And God says we need to know the truth, because it's the truth that makes us free. He's created truth in us, right? And in Jesus for us to see and witness. And now we have to make out of what he created in the truth in Jesus in our lives. We have to make that happen, develop it, nurture it, cultivate truth in our life. Right. So one of the personal inventory that I have a question is, and sometimes we say this, you know, and this is like a good leading into the kingdom question. Like, have you ever sinned? Are you a sinner? Do you, you know, and most people say, oh, I'm a good person. You know, that's their first thing, because most people are to an extent good people. But, you know, when you say, well, have you ever gone and worked late and got paid for it because you didn't tell? I mean, that's. But that's deception. You know, that's not really honorable righteousness, not according to God's word. So it's little things like that, that we can bring to the light, and people can say, yeah, I know, I have done that. Well, that's a good start, because they've realized that, you know, there are some things maybe that they need to look at, because maybe that one little thing can bring up memories of many little things, you know, and we want to come clean in that place and be sanctified and be brought out and set apart in a good place for God to be using us.
We're all born into sin.
That's
just
right.
Went through that conversation.
Amen.
Yesterday or day before, someone from Georgia that had cancer, and I just asked him if they know the Lord. Well, I think so. You know, like, he didn't understand what born again was, and then he started telling me how good he always was.
Right.
You know, and the same thing. I had to, no, it's only the blood of Christ that cleanses you from
Amen.
Sin, and we
Amen.
All have sin. That's what puts us back in connection with God. And I just, you know, kind of threw a little too much at him, though.
Yeah. but there were seeds there, and that's good.
Yeah.
So it has nothing to do with being a good person. It has to do with the righteousness, the right heart, living in the right heart, not selfishly. So when we do things like that, just as an example, I'm not condemning anybody. If anybody's ever done it, I've done it. You know, and I just confessed, you know, there were times when I would take longer lunches, you know, and tell somebody, or not come back. You know, I'm not coming back, you know. All that stuff, especially when you work in Manhattan. Yeah, that 3 o'clock checkout time in the 80s on Wall Street. Not good. But mostly, and everybody was doing it, so you didn't think you were doing anything bad, because everybody, even your boss was doing it, you know what I mean? So it was like, you know, you follow the pack. And like I said, the rotten lemon starts to migrate. where was I with this? Oh,
I just
yeah.
want to say, and you could live perfectly, but without the Lord, you're still not. It's only the blood.
Amen.
You were, you know, born again.
That's right. Amen. So it is, it's a heart matter, because without, it's God who transforms, who, once we get revelation of what he has already done, because it's nothing we can do. Exactly. That's when we can. And we have to believe that. That's why he says we confess with our mouth, but believe with our heart. Because we can confess these things. God loves me. You know, sometimes that's what people say. Well, God loves everybody. And, you know, so it's important that we, these people, some of them may burn in hell. And that's not where I want, you know.
Right.
If I'm in front of somebody, I have to be accountable, because the person that I'm going to be in front of at the end of my walk here on earth is Jesus. And that might be something that was an opportunity, that because I want people to like me, or because, you know, I don't want to. And you don't, if you're doing it out of the right place, it might, like you said, be overload or fearful to someone. But sometimes people need to be scared straight in a way. You know, it's not the intent, but the reality is truth. Sometimes I was telling my family, you know, oh, listen. Let me tell you, you know, Christmas was wonderful. It really was. You know, even though my granite broke, I had a kid manifest like crazy, tell everybody off. it was still wonderful. They were opportunities, you know, to be able to love and share truth. And I did say to my family, I'm going to quote Jesus right now. He didn't come to bring peace. He came to bring the sword of the spirit, which is truth. And it cuts, and I'm moving my hand, and it slices, and it dices. And if and it doesn't always feel ooey gooey chewy, but it's the truth.
I wish they could see you.
Yeah. So, and but there was so much healing in the process, because it wasn't me trying to, you know, make them see something. It was the word of God. So it takes the power off of me trying to convince anyone, right? And it gives it to God. The power is in God's word. And then lots of, you know, we've had some New Year's conversations after New Year's, and people are fired up in my family. They're fired up to explore who they are in Christ and to know what God's plan is for them, you know? And I'm excited for them, because he's the only one that can do it. He's the only one that can do it. So
I just want to say God does love everyone.
Mm-hmm.
It does, you know, he doesn't want them to burn,
no.
Which they're going to, you know, a lot of them, but most people, the road's narrow to heaven. But people get this mindset. I hear it all the time in churches, recently in a church that I was ministering in, you know, and they're talking about this person that had molested their child and how angry God is at him and all this, and the guy's not saved, you know, and I'm like, man, if you think that, go listen to Sean Ryan, the top. Sorry, I didn't mean to hit the table. he has, like, I think the number one podcast. And he interviewed with Victor Marx. And he was like the most tortured guy there's ever been, from 3 years old, being electrocuted and made to do gruesome things. I mean, kill someone by the time he's seven. He drowned him in the bathtub till he was dead. Out, and then wake him up, you know, mouth to mouth, say, you only live because I let you live, you know, and him thinking that's normal, and just crazy things. And 2 weeks before the man died, Victor had come to the Lord, and the Lord told him to go talk to him, and he's like, oh my God. And he was kind of scared of him even, but when he got there, he was so kind of feeble, he wasn't scared. But and then the Lord said, I love him. I don't want him to burn in hell, because he really thought God wanted to burn in hell. He told him he didn't want to hear the word. He found out he's dying while he was with him. He asked me if he could read the Bible for like a week and a half. And then the Lord woke Victor up one night just with a heart crying, and his wife got up praying, just praying and praying a heart of prayer at 4 o'clock in the morning. He prayed for like an hour and a half for him. The next day when he walked in the place, the nurse was there. And he never called him son. And he said, this is my son. He said, he's become one of them preacher kind of people. And he's worried about where I'm spending eternity. But he don't have to worry no more. I made it right last night. So while he was praying, he made it right.
Amen.
And the next day he died. But I mean.
Amen.
That shows.
Because God doesn't stop loving. That's who he is.
Right.
Amen. Even the worst person you can think about that walked this earth right now in your mind, God loves that person.
Hitler, yeah. He would have got saved.
Loves that person.
Would have got saved.
And where they wind up is by their choice, not wanting to be in his presence of love and accepting who he is, you know.
And Jesus' biggest time was the religious people. Mm-hmm.
Yes, amen. Uh-huh.
And
the political people. Yeah.
And the Corinthians, chapter 5, I think it is, and where he said, I told you not to eat with sinners and so on. He said, but not unsaved people, or they will never hear the gospel, basically.
Mm-hmm.
What he's trying to do. But he was saying a brother that calls himself a Christian that's, you know, in these different sins that we're all in these days. You know, yeah. You read that part of the Bible and you're like, wow, yeah. Wouldn't need anybody if we didn't even people fornicate.
They were unsaved believers. They believe, but they're still in bondage, you know.
Totally.
You know, so we have to be able to recognize and speak truth into their life.
A lot of people just need to see somebody doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Because the lady that fasted the 40 days for me, Betty, until I saw her, I felt like I was living better than anybody in the church. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. At the time. And then I seen her life of fasting and praying and just how serious for God. And that got me more
fired up. Serious, yep. Mm-hmm. So we need to be honest with ourselves. That's one question I've been asking God a lot. Like, am I being honest with myself, God? Because, you know, of course, I'm having these conversations we were sharing a little bit earlier. I'm constantly talking, all right, with...
Me too.
Yeah. So, and sometimes I say things, or I'm trying to justify things in my thoughts, and I'm like, who am I lying to? Like, what am I doing in here, in this mind of mine? I know you know, so what am I trying to do here? Am I lying to myself? Because, you know, we're our worst enemy. So we want to be, we want to do even a daily reprieve, you know, like a daily inventory. Like, you know, was I walking with you, you know, properly?
Walking in love.
In love today. Correct. So, so lack of power. We spoke about that for several things, for several shows. And I just want to just reiterate that lack of power is our dilemma. That's what the big book says. That's the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and all the 12-step programs touch on that, you know. And knowledge isn't what gives us the power. Truth is what gives us the power. Knowledge of the truth is what gives us Holy Spirit power. It's the Holy Spirit. He's the truth. He's going to bring truth to us. Jesus Christ in us, the hope of glory, is what reveals revelation of God's wisdom. So if I don't know Jesus, because I don't, when God says, and we'll talk about, who do you say I am? If I'm not in an intimate and I'm going on other people's laurels or the world's belief systems or religious views, my view is distorted, unmanageable, because Jesus is the only way. He's the truth, the life, and he's the only way, right, to the Father, to be in God's presence. And to receive the truth. So truth is knowledge, and the knowledge is what, the knowledge of truth. I don't want to say knowledge, because we can have worldly knowledge and think that we're powerful, but it's false power. That's why we have to know the difference between true, God's word is true, and distorted or twisted truths, which I lived most of my life. All of my life until I surrendered to God. And sometimes I can still be deceived if I don't spend time with God and let the Holy Spirit minister to me, you know? So truth is power and the solution. And the truth is the power of the Holy Spirit in us is the only solution. It's the only, he is a person who lives in us, who's like the governor in our mansion, the vessel. And he's going to lead and guide us, and he's going to infiltrate the kingdom of God in us first, so that it comes out of us, the kingdom, our mind, our words, and our actions. You want to say something?
No, I'm good.
Okay.
I had a stupid thought that had nothing to do with anything. It's really funny.
Oh, gosh.
I can tell you after.
Okay. So John 14:6 says, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So we, when we know Jesus, we start to gather the word. We start to gather the information in our hearts. We gather it, right? And then when we, and that's knowing him. We can't even gather the truth unless we know Jesus. We can put information in our mind, but it's not, it'll be distorted by our own thoughts and ideas without Christ, okay? And then we can... From there, we get understanding, and the understanding is how we interpret the information we're getting. That's when we can stand under God, you know, and we can stand on God's word under him and say, he's my covering. I understand what God's saying about truth, even though I don't like it sometimes. I didn't like a lot of the stuff. Now it's through reverence. I love it because I know it's his love on me, you know. Towards me. And then there's the wisdom of God. And that's when we actually have a lifestyle unto God. Like, I choose this rather than that. I choose to live like this. And it lines up with God's will, his way. And your heart starts to get transformed into the heart of God and his way of doing it, his way of seeing it, his ideas. Something that he told me is thoughts are unspoken words. They're silent words. And he had... When the world was void, he had ideas first before he spoke them. So everything is a word. Everything starts out. A word is the seed, and a seed needs to be planted. So your thoughts are unplanted seeds until you start speaking them and acting them, right? Mm. Hallelujah. And spoken words are exposed thoughts. And we want to, that's why we confess. We want to expose those things that aren't lining up with God so that he can partnership with us and we can partnership with him. But if we're hiding from him, he's not going to force us. He's not going to pull us out of those places, right? So information does not equal revelation. We know that. It's truth that equals revelation. It's when we really get the truth in our heart that the lights go on and we get to reveal God's word in us. 2 Timothy 1:7, God gave us spirit, not of the gut, gave us the, of the spirit, not of fear, but of power, love, and sound mind. So that's the power in us, is the Holy Spirit. He's the only power that can make us able, give us the ability to be able to resist temptation, to change our ungodly or sinful behavior to our spiritual, Christ-like behavior. We talked about that the last session that we had on the air about the sinful nature and spirit man, the spiritual nature. Mm-hmm. The spirit man is the true man identity that God created us to be in his presence. The natural man is the fallen man. It's the Adamite. We want to be Christianites. Christianites. So our true self is honesty, is the principle of the action, the walk, true self. When we're honest with ourselves, we can be our true, vulnerable, humble self, right? So we need an honest confession because we need to know that we can't do it on our own, and it's what he's done. I need a savior, and I can't rely on drugs and alcohol, sex, money, my husband, my children, my boss, none of that stuff is going to save me. I tried it all. And, you know, and I'm sure people listening can identify with that. You know, if they get well or if I can fix them, then my life is going to be better. It doesn't work that way. We need to have Jesus in our hearts, Holy Spirit leading and guiding us. We need to walk in spirit with the Spirit. We be led by our spirit. But if you're not born again, you can't even understand these things. That's what Jesus said to Nicodemus. And he was a very highly respectful religious man. But religion's not going to do it. It doesn't work that way. That's what he was trying to get those religious people to come to him. And they refused to. So
religious spirit's still alive and well.
Yes, it is. Uh-huh. And it usually works as we try to work. I mean, even if you're not in a church and you're just trying to work for God's love, you don't even have to go to church. That's a religious spirit where if I can work for this, if I can do these ritual things and earn his love or, you know, try to. And I think that's like, you know, when I first got sober, for me, that's what I was doing. I was working my way through life, you know, trying to be a better person, trying to be that good person and be, you know, loved and accepted by God and the people around me. But it wasn't until I was born again that I can really.
I'm trying to remember.
Go ahead. Sorry. No.
The fivefold Bob Jones had said, which made total sense when he said it, he said, just as God has a fivefold, that the religious spirit has a fivefold.
Oh, yes.
I'm trying to remember because it's self-righteousness, opinion, debate. Legalism, and well, I got more than I thought I'd get. It's been a long time since I thought about that. I think of the other one all.
Amen. That's true. Yes, I remember we even did that in Kingdom Recovery. I probably have no, you know, a teaching on that. I'll look for it. So, and 1 John 1:9, it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So it's that through that confession, we admit it in step one, is the same concept, the same principle, the same value that 1 John 1:9 is talking about, right? So confess, to admit, to be transparent, And we have to burn through those lies and denial. So sin is combustible and the truth is like fire and it burns through. That's what it's about. So when we hear the truth, sometimes we feel like that hurt, that burned. But really what it is, it's burning that sin. And we can feel it. And sometimes the enemy wants to say, oh, that's condemnation. No, it's conviction. It's revealing a truth because I was believing a lie or I was manipulating the truth to try to fit it into my behavior because I wanted to feel ooey gooey chewy or I wanted my will done. And then it reveals to me, it brings the light to those dark places. And that's, so I always say sin is combustible. And when the truth reveals the ungodly behaviors, the unrighteousness in my life, it burns it. It's like, ouch, that hurt. But now I welcome it, you know, because it's love on the other side of it always. Forgiveness, peace, joy. Those are the things on the other side of everything that I was looking for in the sin. On the other side of it, when we stop, is all those things. Praise the Lord. So we need to walk out our sanctification, the renewing of our soul, our mind, our will, emotion. That's what that is. It's like, yes, my spirit man comes in a new creation, but I can still behave and speak and think and act like the old man because I'm not laying down things. I'm still believing that those things are going to help me and fix me above God, above God's word. I'm doubting God's word. So Romans 3:23, and this is the Adamite, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory, like James was saying, you know, the image and likeness, the character of God is the glory of God. We all fall short of that, of God. And you want to say something, James?
Yeah, go. I just remember we were talking earlier about how you're talking to God. Yeah. Well, I said, Lord, if you want me to, I started writing them. I said, because I didn't know if he wanted me to say that. I was like, Lord, if you want me to say that, give me that other one. And bam.
Amen. What was it?
It's criticalness.
Oh, okay.
So self-righteousness, legalism, opinion, debate, and criticalism.
And that's what the religious spirit fivefold ministry is.
Yes.
And the Holy Spirit fivefold ministry, you know.
Love, so, joy, peace.
Amen. Amen. So we have a choice. Who do we want to be under? Who do we want to understand?
Those are the fruit. Sorry.
Right. It's what a teacher.
Apostle, prophet. Yeah, Apostle, prophet.
Evangelist.
Preacher, teacher, evangelist.
Amen. Right. An apostle. So, you said that?
Yeah, that's the first one. And the order, like, as everybody gets on, I'm an apostle thinking they're over, but they don't understand apostleship is the lowest place. And that's what God keeps speaking.
Amen.
That's going lower,
amen,
go
amen.
Lower, is to go higher in the kingdom
yes.
of God.
Hallelujah.
Total opposite of man's kingdom.
Yeah. He turned it all. It's right side up, but it's upside down to us.
He told Heidi Baker that when she got filled with the Spirit. Or not, she got the anointing before she started raising all the dead and stuff. On her for 7 days at the Toronto movement. They had to carry her to the ministry thing and out. But he said, the apostleship is upside down.
Amen. So I just want to elaborate a little bit on the sanctification, the act of making something holy. So what he created in us, we have to make. We take what he created, because what he created is starts with nothing. It's his idea. He speaks it, creates that in us, and we have to make it come out of us. So we're actually harvest, you know, sowing and building and growing the fruits of, you know, God's character in us. And these are the things that we're talking about. So sanctification is something that we have to grow and in areas of our life, because not all of us, not all the areas are transformed and renewed in the mind when we get born again. We have years of most of us, I would say, I don't know. I know for myself, I'll speak for myself. I had many years of brainwashing in the wrong direction. So now I needed a new washing, a new baptism of my mind, you know, brainwashing. So James 5:16 said, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that they may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Hallelujah. And Proverbs 28:13 says, whoever conceals his transgressions will not prosper. So it stunts our growth. We're like little stubs, you know, the flower, the stub, and it doesn't, it's like a stub that doesn't grow anything on it, you know. But he who confesses and forsakes them, which means stops doing them, forbids them in their life, not just say, you know, I'm guilty or I you know, this is what I've been doing and then continue to do it. Then you forsake it. It becomes something that you recoil when you are tempted or you have to do that. You have to make that decision. Then we'll obtain mercy. Then you will obtain mercy when you make an attempt. God gives mercy. You know, it's the same thing with fornication for me. I got the gift of celibacy. I believe it's a gift because I'm okay. And that was one of my weaknesses. That was like an addiction, a character defect or whatever. The old man, you know, that was a God for me. Mm. It made me, you know, it was a reason why to me, stress reliever, all those things were tied to that. And I got a gift. It's the same thing with cursing. You know, I didn't ask, but God removed it. All these things. So just the mercy, just the desire to serve and love and spend time with him, things start to happen in your life that, you know, he knows what you need because he knows how he's going to use you. He knows how he needs you, you know. So, you know, if I'm going around cursing and everything, I'm in the jails. I mean, what kind of power of example am I? You know, I'm teaching and, you know, doing things. And not only that, but my family, that was like one of the big mirrors. They know. Yeah, the transformation from what it was like and what it's like now, you know. It's like that blind man. I don't know. I was blind and now I can see, you know. So this is the importance of confession. So we admitted we're powerless. And then God says, who do you say I am? Well, let me just, who do you say I am? And Peter confesses. And that's the personal relationship. God saying, who do you say I am? Who am I personally to you? Not religiously, not the way the world sees me, not the way your church sees me, not the way all of that, but personally, you and I together, do you know me? Because when he says, go away, I don't know you, he's talking about that personal time with him. He's talking about, does he see himself in you? You know, Matthew 16:13-20 says, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I am? The Son of Man? The Son of Man? Let me read that again. Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So they said, some say John the Baptist, some, and this was me totally. You know, I say it all the time. Some say Elijah and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter. And on this rock, the rock of knowing that he's the Messiah, Peter's not the rock. God is the rock, Jesus. I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Then he commanded his disciples that they shall tell no one that he was Jesus the Christ. Amen. So this is important because who do you personally say, right? So we want to know him. What's our lives like? Is it his image? Do we know him personally? You know, I kind of explain it like he could be in an arena, in a concert, and you could be blocks away and hear, or a sports arena, and you hear the game. You know, like I lived by Shea Stadium when it was Shea Stadium in Queens, and when the Mets were playing, you heard crowds, and I lived miles away from there, and there were trains, and you could still hear it, but I wasn't in there. You know, I can walk closer and closer and closer, but you want to be in the middle of that arena, right next to him, where he looks at you and he can say your name. That's how close you want to be to the arena of where Christ is. You know, I always say that you could be out there and know that and hear him and know that he's in there. But do you know him? You want to be personally touched and be able to touch.
And another example similar to that is if you're in a store and you hear someone yelling and it's your spouse that you didn't know was in there, you'd right away recognize spouse's voice. We want to get to know his voice.
Child. Correct. Exactly. Like you can be in a nursery. It's the strangest thing, James. I know it's harder for a man to identify, so I just want to give this as an example. You can be in a nursery with lots of children, but you know your child's cry. There's an intimacy. You can't explain it, but you know. You know, and that's similar to what you want to do, like you said.
And God speaks different ways, as we say, impressions, mm-hmm. thoughts, visions. There's several different ways, but we do have to be open to being wrong when we hear him, because there is other voices out there, but we need to learn and spend the time with him where we do recognize and know
for sure. That's right. Because it's personal, the way he's going to talk, you know, to you. But so if Christ lives in me, the hope of glory, then what's my reflection like? You know, that's really what this is about. Like who do I say I am is if I am is in me, then I should be in the image and likeness in my behaviors, in my thinking, in my words, in my, you know, my responses to things. And if I don't know how, get scripture, because scripture is directions.
And this is part of the problem, or something people don't understand, because we look at a country, say, Iran, that's totally Muslim. We think, oh, that's the Muslim religion. You look at these different places, we don't understand that they look at the TV and say, oh, that's the Christian religion, thinking all Americans are Christians. And they think, oh, they think sex out of wedlock's okay, drinking and drugs, all right. That's all their God that they serve. So they have a hard time with that.
Right.
Until they get, you know, if they do get to know them.
And that's where intimacy comes in, too. Because you got to know.
Well, that's why we need to be the image of mirror, like you're saying, is what I'm saying. Uh-huh. Is when we're portraying something else, it's doing
damage
to the rest of the world.
And by us being intimate with God, people will draw in and we can be intimate with them and give them, taste and see what it's like to be intimate with God, because we are in the image and likeness of the things that he's doing in our life and the way we handle situations. Correct. Power of example. We want to be the power, the Holy Spirit in us, example of what it looks like manifested in the world as it is in heaven here on earth. And we are the vessels for the Holy Spirit to be able to manifest so that people are drawn in, you know?
Yeah, we're the only Christ they'll ever see.
Amen. That's right. So we will get deeper into that, who do you say I am scripture, but right now I want to talk about Jesus gave us the power, the Holy Spirit, and authority, his name, his blood, his sacrifice, right? So the higher power is Christ in me, the hope of glory. You know, when they talk about my higher power, it's Jesus Christ, Jesus with Christ in him. Hallelujah. Man and Christ, one, is a higher power. Because it's him operating through us. So Luke 9:1 says, then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. Can't do that. Luann can't do that. But Christ in me can. And I have to be in agreement and I have to believe with all my heart as I speak it, confess, be healed to someone praying. Even if I'm praying alone about someone, you know, this is why he says, you know, we confess with our mouth, but believe with our heart, because it's really in the believing, the faith that activates and motivates and manifests, you know, hallelujah. And Luke 10:19 says, behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall be by any means hurt you. Hallelujah. It's all through the power and authority that he given us through his blood, everything he's done for us. And there's also Matthew 28:17-19. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. So people can follow and still doubt. You know, they can see and still doubt. All authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make, not create, because he's the creator, but we get to make things out of what he creates. That's the supply he's given us. Hallelujah. Of all nations, by baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And then in Mark 16, 17, it says, and these signs will follow those who believe in my name. They will cast out, so it's in his name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover, because it's God's will that they recover. So if our will lines up with God's will, because we believe in our heart, right? That's where the transformation, that's where the image and likeness starts to manifest out of what we say, out of how we're thinking, of how we're handling situations that used to baffle us, the unmanageability into manageability. And the only way we can have that was with the sound mind. So when we admitted we were powerless over our problems that caused the issues, you know, the sinfulness that caused the problems in our life, our personal selfish desires, that our lives had become unmanageable. We must be born again. That's the bottom line. We can think that we manage. I'm going to share. I've been really talking with someone deeply these last few days, and they have a similar experience in their life that I've experienced. And, you know, you would look at my life years ago and think that, I mean, it was perfect. It was absolutely perfect. I had all the money that I can, you know, people would be like, well, how's it feel to be able to buy whatever you want? You know, the kids healthy, beautiful house, everything, you know? And it was so broken inside that house, you know, like inside, mm-hmm. inside my me. But, you know, and they're experiencing it, you know, and we get to talk. But you see, all the money, all the outside things, they can look pretty on the outside. But it's God wants to do the inside stuff. Because when the inside's not right, the outside is never going to be fulfilling or right in your life, ever. And it's priceless, the inside stuff. You can't buy it, your health. You can't buy well-being, peace. You can't buy those things. You know, those are things that come through your relationship with God and your belief, your faith in his word. It's the only way you can get it. You can think you could buy it, but it's temporary, only temporary. And you know what? You're putting your power and your hope in the false things when you do things like that. Even if you want to try the latest thing for cures, there's no guarantee, but there's only a guarantee in God's word that you are healed. Praise the Lord. Right? So unmanageable is difficulty or impossible to manage, manipulate, or control. It's self-will run riot, and it all is in the mind. So I'm going to just do a little bit of this. We'll probably go into more detail next time we all gather on Kingdom Recovery, but I wanted to touch base on this. And how it works is, you know, in the order to knowing how it works is who is working it. If you don't know who's working it, you won't know how it works. You know, we say how it works in the program. This is how it works. And it all leads to Christ. It all leads to God. Now, it's our job to introduce Jesus to people, because people believe in God. The centurion believed in God and he prayed to God, and it is God, right? It could be God, but Jesus makes it more personal. Makes it right, because then he will bring you to the Father. You know, everybody can say, well, God is, because he's all over, he's everywhere. But when you narrow and hone it down to a personal place in your heart, it becomes more real, not just out there, you know? And that's what God wants for each and every one of us. He wants to be real in your heart, real in your life, not just this mystical thing around us, because he's a person and he yearns for us. He yearns for that relationship like any person. I mean, that's what I was chasing. Yeah, that's what I was chasing my whole life. You know, the yearning of wanting to be accepted, wanting to be loved, wanting all those things. And he was right there to give it to you. So, you know, And unmanageability is not knowing him. And we could be unmanageable. So like I was saying, I had all these things that looked so manageable, so pretty. My house was neat. Everything was perfect, but it was so broken and unmanageable inside, you know? And that's what we're going to be talking about more, about how self will run riot when we don't have God in our life, and how the enemy can distort and you know, come kill, steal, and destroy and cause chaos in every area of our life without God. Wherever God is not, there's rebellion, chaos. There's something else going on, lies, and it's distortion, because God is the truth. So when there's revelation that he might not be in a certain area of my life, and it could be in a simple conversation, and I'm not, you know, because my will be done, it tends to be chaos starts to happen in that conversation, you know, because my will is starting to get in the way, and I have to retreat. And then yield and say, God, I need you to speak to me on this before I address it. I had to keep my mouth closed until I waited 3 days, because that's when God resurrected in my mind. I thought, let me wait 3 days. And sure enough, that person called me on the third day. And I was prepared in love, you know. And then I was able to joke around and share that, oh, you called me. Jesus was raised in 3 days. I guess I can start talking. You know, and people know me like that. So that's, you know. That's the cuteness or funness of how I can introduce truth in someone's life. You know, we find a way to be able to communicate with people and bring truth. You want to be loving. So with that, I don't want to go any deeper in those things, because we don't have enough time to talk about, you know, the how and the who of the manageability in our life. And if we don't know who he is, we won't know how to create that stability in our life, you know, because God wants to be in everything. So is there anything you want to share, James, before we pray and close and, you know, get into our closing? I just want to remind everybody that you're listening to WCNO Kingdom Recovery. My name is Luann. If you have any questions, you can call me 631-745-7980. And I just want to pray that everyone's heart opened up today, and that everyone has a blessed moving forward into 2026, and that their hearts are seeking, because God says you seek and you will find, and he will be there for you. And I just pray that everyone's heart gets touched today and their minds are activated and fired up to seek him. In Jesus' name I pray, and
shalom, shalom,
shalom, shalom. We agape you.
Romans 12:2 says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Tune in again next Friday at 5 p.m. to hear and experience another level of God's transforming power, where the truth makes you free. For more information about Kingdom Recovery, I can be reached at 631-745-7980.
All the glory to the God of love. All the glory to the God of love. It's all the evidence, all evidence.